there's a lot of debate about that. And a lot of different people say a lot of different things. I think most people agree that ending the sugar program would mean a drop in the U.S. price of sugar, which would be good for food consumers. As I reported in the story, independent studies have found it costs consumers $2 billion annually about. But for that Everglades agricultural area, which is so dependent on growing sugar cane, most people agree that any drop in price would be pretty devastating for that region. And already that region is experiencing some pretty serious economic problems. U.S. Census estimates unemployment and poverty rates in that region at 40%. So, you know, you have that factor to consider. A lot of people say that if sugar growing were to go away in that region, it would clear the way for development, which environmentalists would not be happy about. Other people say that getting rid of sugar in that region would clear the way for environmental restoration. Rick Roth, the sugar grower who I interviewed in Belglade, he was unconvinced that sugar growing in that region would end if you did away with the sugar program. He points to the massive sugar growing infrastructure in that region. You can't grow sugar just anywhere. It's not a crop like growing celery that you just pick and you take it to the grocery store. Sugar needs to be refined. And that region is home to a massive sugar refinery infrastructure. So he believes sugar would continue in that region for that reason. He also points to demand.
And it's really thanks to you. It's called more mouths to feed. As you have more people in the world, demand is exceeding supply. And that's what's driving the price up.
That was Rick Roth, a sugar farmer in Belglade.
So the politics are also a really big part of the U.S. sugar program. And you mentioned in your report that sugar is part of the Farm Bill, which is moving through Congress right now. What's the latest on that?
Well, the Farm Bill now is stalled in the House, and a lot of people think that it probably will remain that way until after the November elections. The Farm Bill expires September 30th, and so a lot of people think that probably what they'll do is approve a temporary stopgap measure that will keep things going, and then they'll come back and look at it again after the November election. The problem with that Farm Bill is that it's now in the Republican-controlled House, and Republicans, of course, are shying away from government programs.
Are there national congressional names that we would recognize, people who are trying to shut this down?
Well, Richard Lugar out of Indiana, he was on the Senate Agricultural Committee, and he had introduced a measure last year that would have ended the sugar program. Other senators and House members, too, had introduced measures looking at reforming or ending the sugar program. But this is all politics. The Big Sugar is a very politically powerful special interest group, as you heard in my report, and eventually all of those measures have failed. At this point, the sugar program is preserved as is.
Talk to me a little bit about the politics in the U.S. Senate. Florida's own U.S. senators, as you mentioned in your report, they are benefactors of U.S. sugar's political generosity.
That's right. And in fact, as I reported in my story, Bill Nelson, Democratic senator from Florida, he is the second biggest beneficiary of sugar growers this election cycle in the Senate. The biggest beneficiary is Debbie Stabenow, who is chairwoman of the Senate Agricultural Committee. Bill Nelson received between $40,000 or $50,000. Marco Rubio, Florida's freshman senator, he's a Republican. He received less money. He received $5,000, but he's not up for re-election this year. But during his campaign in 2010, he writes in his recently published autobiography about the support that the Fanjul family, a Cuban-American family, gave to him during his campaign in 2010. Marco Rubio, of course, also is a Cuban-American.